It is a Saturday night on ice, January 20th, 2018, in a rematch of a cup final from 2 years ago. And these two teams played an entertaining hockey game as the Sharks come out on top 2-1 over the Pittsburgh Penguins, the back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. Welcome to this edition of Teal Town After Dark. I am Eric Kura. You can follow me on Twitter at PuckGuy14. And of course, if you want to be a part of the show, you know what to do. Just join the conversation. Yeah, that's right. Use the hashtag TealTownUSA. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Hi, everyone. How's it going? And let's say hello to my fellow compadres. Three of the four original gangsters for this television program that you see on the YouTube. Make sure you hit subscribe down below, by the way. To Mr. AJ Strong. Hello, good sir.
Holla!
No, we aren't playing Vegas.
Don't care.
Also joining us from beautiful San Diego, California, it is Chris JWS.
Say that to my doggy face.
You MF-er.
Oh, my goodness. It's been a while since us three did this thing.
Dude, this feels so OG right now. Dude. Oh, my God.
What is this, 2015? Wait,
if that's the case, good evening, Sharks fan.
Oh, don't make me do it.
Don't make me do it.
I actually haven't put it on the soundboard just yet.
I need that soundboard, by the way, definitely. And we need to add some more of that stuff. All right.
It is definitely 2015. We're already off the rails.
Hey, yes. And we have an outdoor game coming up. No, I'm kidding. All right. So in that case, let's talk about this game.
Oh, my God.
See, I'm sending you stuff up before you can. Yeah, there you go. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Did you want to talk about this game?
Let's talk.
Yes.
Thank you, Rocket. Appreciate it. Oh, boy. Someone's having way too much fun with the soundboard, for sure.
Fuck, bro. Fuck it.
Wow, adding to the swear jar, and she's not even on. All right, so let's talk about this game as the Sharks take on the Pittsburgh Penguins, back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. In fact, the last time they beat the Penguins was Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final. In the first period, these teams went back and forth with each other, guys, and it started early, though. Connor Sheary gets his 12th on the year from Simone. And some guy, you know, Sidney Crosby. No, kidding. Not trying to be disrespectful, because we never are allowed to be disrespectful to the league. That's only too much hurdle.
Never disrespect the game.
Yes. At 3:18, Sheary, his 12th. Guys, early on, what did you think, AJ?
Fuck it.
Well, no, after 1-0, I'm sure you want to say that. You know, like, oh, here we go again. Go
ahead. No, I don't know. You know what? This very much. It's funny that you invoke the whole playoff thing, because to me, this game is one of those games where you know, call it cliche, and I'm surprised that Randy and Banks didn't tap into it a little bit tonight. Baker, welcome back. But I felt like this did kind of have a playoff feeling to it a little bit. Seems like both teams were a little tight. I'm sure having backup goaltenders backstopping both teams probably added to that a little bit. But it did feel a little playoff style to me. It was very tight. But it's funny. It's like it was tight for me for like the second two periods. The first period, I think, was a little loose for both teams. I don't know if they were feeling out each other. This is, of course, you know, the first time they've seen each other this season. And is this the Penguins' first trip out west?
No, they've made a couple trips, more like Western Canada, and they played Vegas and I think Arizona earlier in the year.
Okay. So either way, it did have a little bit of a tight feel to it towards the end, or, you know, last two periods. A little loose at first. The goal that was scored by Sheary, I don't know that Jones is going to stop that. Grosnick, whoever, Patrick Waugh. I don't know. It was a decent goal. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to have shots like that that are just almost difficult, you know, incredibly.
Would Alex Stalock have stopped it?
No. In fact, Alex Stalock would have been on the bench when that actually when that goal went in. So backup, not a backup. Hashtag that. So I'm just really happy to get the win out of this. Again, I thought it was a really tight game. I thought the officials let a awful lot of stuff go, which I don't have a problem with if it's consistent. But nonetheless, happy to get the win. And, you know, I think that's it. I go back to that Shiri goal. I think Dell would want that back. But that's the thing so far this season. You look at it a lot of times. Dell, he wants that first goal back. But after he lets in the first one, it's like that wakes him up and he locks it down. I mean, you look at his record so far.
You almost never see Dell have a cascading game where it goes from bad to worse. To
even. Exactly. Exactly. He's been what I mean, what is he like right now? Like 8-1-2 or something like that? I mean, he's got a fantastic record. So cheers to you, Adell. Your dude, you're getting Adell. Hello.
This bud's for you.
There you go. Eric doesn't know he's muted. So.
Well, I thought Chris was I thought Chris was gonna go on from there, but I'll pick it up from here. And then late
in the I need the setup, man.
You're
gonna Jumbo Joe me here and give me your sweet sauce pass.
Jumbo Joe. I think you mean Kevin LeBanc me.
No. I'm gonna give you a sweet saucer pass like Joe Pavelski did to Timo Meier to set up his 10th on the season. To make it a 1-1 hockey game, Pavelski and Bernsey with the assist on that to go into the period, into the intermission, tied 1-1. Chris, what did you take overall from Timo time and overall play from the Sharks in the first frame?
Oh, it was a nice pass from Pavelski, but also give Burns credit for that off the boards up ice pass, which is also very nice. And the important thing is on hockeystats.ca, instead of a little red dot for the goal, it appears as a little Chewbacca icon because Burns has something to do with it. That's one of their little running jokes on there.
Switched everything to emojis for that. That would be hysterical.
Well, they have a few emojis. They have like a Phil Kessel crazy face for anyone he's involved in. But there's a few guys that have their own little emoticons, and Brent Burns of being the Wookiee. But overall, the play in that frame, early the Penguins got the better part of it. You know, they kind of took it to the Sharks. There was a little bit of a lull in the middle, and then the Sharks at the end of that period, and that goal was kind of the accumulation of all that. The Sharks took it to them for a good 2 or 3 minutes straight, and you could kind of tell that goal was coming. Or a heartbreaker goal is about to go the other way, because that just, it always seems to be one or the other. Either the Sharks have a big surge, they keep coming, and then they score, or just we get the kick in the nuts that is the one time the team gets a shot in the other direction, it just goes in because, well, God hates the Sharks. So,
dude, and give credit to Timo Time for, getting the opening goal in two consecutive games, and the goal that he had was a snipe shot. I mean, it was literally between the glove and the pads, just airmailed, snuck it right in there. I mean, it was a beautiful shot.
Yeah, it was pretty. It was pretty. And I think we have a winger for Jumbo
let's not get crazy.
No, but let's be real here.
But it's getting better.
It's getting better. Timo seems to be a nice fit with the Joes. You get some speed, you get some skill, you maybe get some defending them if somebody wants to take some liberties with them. But nonetheless, Timo, double digits.
Yeah, double digits,
before Pavelski, too. That's the surprising thing.
Yes.
That's surprising, but let's not get crazy because if we go back to that opening goal by Shiri, I felt like Timo was actually out of position on that goal. And it was him not, I forget the penguin that came behind the net when Braun and Vlasic both pinched and went low behind the net, and it came right back out in front of Dell. Meier was the one that could have been the guy in position to make sure that pass didn't get through, and Meier kind of flubbed that play. So
he's also a young player who's going to make mistakes. I think I'm seeing a lot of positive with him up there with the Joes. And, I mean, that's been a kind of a a revolving door up there for how many seasons now? Okay. I mean, they found temporary good fits. Maybe he's the long-term one, but you know, there's been plenty of guys who have found a temporary home, and it's hard not to, right? Like, you have those two guys setting you up constantly. Even if you're not a very good player, you're probably going to be able to do some good things.
Yes, I would totally give you that. So, I mean, I've been saying it for a while, like, how great would it be to have, like, 1999, 2000 Owen Nolan on the line with the Joes? And Meyer, hopefully, slowly but surely, will slide into that kind of Nolan 1.0, Ryan Clough 1.0 type of slot.
He makes me think a lot of Ryan Clough for sure. A
little bit, yeah. Puck guy? You got to unmute yourself, brother.
See, I'm trying to make sure I don't have my clicks going, so it doesn't.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I think
you have a little bit of Clough in him, but I think he has a little more skill offensively than maybe Ryan Clough does. And that's saying something because Clough definitely had some offensive skill to it. Onward to the second period we go where no scoring, but this is where I think we need to talk about the goaltenders tonight. I think Aaron Dell played an exceptional game, and there's been a lot of people who've suggested, oh, he gets the easier opponents, blah, 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 blah. I didn't think so. And DeSmith, considering he's your number three goaltender in the Penguins system, dude, you know what? Hats off to him. He had a heck of a game tonight. And Stone LeBanc on a number of chances. There were times that the Sharks, I thought, threw the kitchen sink at him.
Yeah, there was at least a few shots there where I was like, I was sure. I was like standing up like, oh, that. Wait, no, that's not a goal. he did a pretty admirable job. Unfortunately, we've seen the trend before of Penguins goalies coming up with little experience and stonewalling the Sharks. And unfortunately, in the playoffs is one place that happened.
Yeah. Pens aren't the only ones who have pulled that off, by the way.
Yeah, credit to them, though. It seems like they have a pretty good system as far as having the guys in there. And same thing on our end, because Dell also did a pretty dang good job. He was there, like, every time there was a rebound, you know, side-to-side. His side-to-side movement, that's one of the things that really impressed me tonight, because there was a few times where something happened on one side of the net, he had to push from one side to the other, and he was right there to stonewall the next opportunity. And that was big. And I don't think, you know, I know I've seen some rumblings of, oh, Dell should, you know, replace Jones. And this is a discussion we need to have right now. We have a starting goalie who's struggling, and we have a backup who's very good. So let's hope the starting goalie gets back to form, because then we will have two very good goalies, and that's a good place to be.
It's always a good thing to have a goaltender you can use to go back and forth. You're not trading for a guy like Reimer, which, no disrespect, had a great run here in San Jose, but you don't need to give up picks and prospects, or just more so picks and throwaway players.
No, and that acquisition was necessary that year, because we were wearing Jones the hell out. So, you know, we don't know what can happen in the playoffs this year, if the Sharks even make it or not. But obviously, a tired out Jones, who's already struggling, is not something we want to be walking into the playoffs with. Wasn't something we want then, wasn't something we want now. So, if anything, it's good news that we don't have to be scared that Jones is going to have to just be Superman and work his ass off for months on end just to get us the playoffs and then collapse.
It did feel, though, tonight that it was another game of kind of you didn't see a lot from the fourth line. It was pretty much like the second and the third line did a lot of the damage, where you would kind of rate it where it was like third line, then second line, then first line, then fourth line, if you like rated it in that way. Question I had was, can Hayden Bradley play center? inquiring minds want to know.
Hey, you know,
when Bradley was skating off the ice from the faceoff, the fact that Hurdle like gave him a little pat on the head, and I'm like, dude, you are like literally like 7 years older than him.
which is true. But you know what? Going through all the images that we saw tonight, and I was going to touch on Hayden a little bit later, but we'll bring it up now. man, I think he had a bigger smile than Hurdle. If you're not aware, or if this is news to you, although it is getting worldwide press now on ESPN and Sportsnet, Hayden Bradley is a Make-A-Wish kid. He lives in Santa Rosa, California. His home was not burned down, but a lot of homes around the area, and I believe even his school was burned down during the Sonoma and Napa wildfires, along with a couple of heart conditions, if I'm not mistaken, guys.
Yeah, last April had had to have an operation. As you know, we hear the term snow day a lot. You don't hear fire day very often.
No. Yeah. And nonetheless, it was a pretty cool night. And apparently they were interviewing him on the post game show as a press conference. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I think they said he's only the second quote civilian to ever.
Yeah, besides Sam.
Sam Pagason would be the other one.
Yeah. But how great is that they're doing the post-game interview with the kid? And what's funny is, like, I can see it on my TV right now. I obviously don't have audio, but I'm recording this. I'm going to listen to this later. How funny is it going to be where he's just like, well, you know, we try to go out there and give 100%. Like, if he just hits, like, every cliche that we're used to hockey players giving, that would be hysterical.
We played a good game, and we kept playing a good game, and then we kept winning.
We kept winning
some more. So,
you know, we gave up that first goal early, but then we got it back. And then, we got some chances there towards the end. And, you know, and
throwing in a few nicknames of other players. Odeli played a good game. Always a few. Wardo was great.
And Hurdle got that one in there for the boys.
Yes. And you know, we played good and we just need to keep it going and take our game to the next level and all that fun stuff. Yes.
Yeah. One game at a time.
Yeah.
Taking one game at a time, one minute at a time, one play at a time, you know, 1 second at a time, all that stuff.
Gave it 110%, 100% of the time. Yes, of course.
No, I give 111%. All you slackers giving 110%.
And the funny thing is Skyler just said, he's literally talking about the defense and hitting all the marks that I just called.
Well, yes, I can't Hayden. Say I'm surprised by that.
And it's all because it's just all cliche. And it wouldn't even surprise me if, you know, a player or two probably coached him in that, you know.
Yes.
Shit, does he want a gig on After Dark? Wait, no, he's probably too big for us, right?
You know, got to get pucks deep. You got to get good looks on the other goal, you know, insert.
Pucks on
net. Yeah, pucks on net.
With the feet.
We got to make sure we're skating in. But okay, this could turn into a whole.
If we're able to, I would love to have him on.
Felix saying hockey cliches After Dark.
Yes.
Oh, that show would last about 90 seconds.
That show lasts about an hour after each game, roughly.
No. You just go through every single cliche. In fact, Gen X, do us a favor. If you could just put that audio together and send it to us, we'll post it. Because I'm sure he has every single
one. Yes, like Gen X just said, play
it. Gen X has ears to, I mean, he has the largest like set of TVs and recording all the audio of everything. I mean, it's like a beautiful mind type shit.
Yes. Oh, I'll swear, Jack.
It's a beautiful hockey mind.
That's right.
Hey, that was worth it.
That's true. That's true. So let's go back to the game. Third period now. On the power play, Tomas Hurdle bangs home a rebound off of Smith and makes it 2-1. That's your game winner. Hurdle, his 13th on the year, from Pavelski and Burns. Just a scotch under 2 minutes into the second. But guys, back and forth, I mean, both teams had a number of chances. What were the shots on goal? The Sharks outshot Pittsburgh 11-8 in the third period, but the Sharks had a number of chances. Pittsburgh had a number of chances, I thought. And
you're talking about 11-8 in the I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. You're talking about 11-8 in the third period, but like through the first 12 minutes of the third period, it was like 9-2. You know, I mean, it was I think the Penguins got a lot of extra accountability when it comes to the shot clock towards those last 5 minutes when they pulled the goal.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Chris, what did you take from the third?
I mean, the third, some of it was definitely, I mean, there was some back and forth early. I'm just kind of looking at the little shot charts here. There's a lot of back and forth early. That goal happened, and then it was a lot more Penguins, which is, you know, always to be expected that the Sharks are not alone, but most teams, you know, most teams, even when they get a one goal lead, tend to sit on it. If they got a two goal lead, well, that shot chart would have been completely lopsided. But, you know, they kept it in front of them. They only allowed so many really, really good chances in the late third, so they didn't put themselves way far out there. I don't like that they sit on leads, but unfortunately most teams do, and it's kind of like, it's one of those things.
And I like the comment from Sleepy Mofo. I wish tonight's game had been like game six of the Stanley Cup final. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not going to find too many games in the Stanley Cup final where it's like backup versus the second backup. You're just not going to see that very often.
and unfortunately, I mean, like, to be real here, like, while it's great, you know, it feels good to beat the Penguins and they are in contention, this is not the Penguins team that has given the Sharks fits for the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are not nearly as good over the last few months this season overall as they were the last 2 years. So, you know, don't take too much from this but at the same time, trying to say, well, this team is a contender and the Sharks beat them, therefore X, Y, and Z about the Sharks, you have to be very careful because, you know, they barely beat the Coyotes twice a week ago, but honestly, no one will care about that in April if they're winning a playoff series.
Exactly.
Because you can, some nights a crap team can look like a contender and vice versa. So, the main thing is the Sharks won the game, and that's win number four in this ugly six-game stretch of 6-9 nights. So that's, you know, they have a winning record in 6-9. That's definitely a big positive, regardless of who the opponents are. The fact that they're coming out of that stretch with a winning record, and we all know the Sharks have had their times where they've hit a tough stretch, and it's spiraled out of control. But it is January. It's not February yet, which is, February has always been their nightmare month.
Right.
Well, not only that, too, is that going into this game, they were also told that Calgary had leapfrogged in front of them, you know, with a win earlier in the night. So it was kind of like, you know, they had to, they had to jump back into their second place spot. Now, granted, if you're going to ask me, okay, the Sharks are going to play – over the course of two nights, they're going to play the Penguins and the Ducks. Who do you want the Sharks to beat? It's going to be the Ducks, people, just based on standings. The fact that the Ducks are only 3 points behind the Sharks right now, but I will take this one. And, hey, you know what? Keep it rolling, Dell. Hopefully the Hayden Bradley magic continues on with it. How funny would it be if Hayden Bradley ended up being like the Joe Pavelski of 2016, where they're like, okay, wait a minute. This kid came in here. We've won two back-to-back games that were like really tight game. Okay, keep this kid on the plane until we lose. And then, so it's, what is it? It's Anaheim after this. Oh, and then two home and homes. So, I mean, if we win in Anaheim tomorrow, you keep the kid around, extend his contract like two more days for the Winnipeg game. If they win Winnipeg, extended another two games for the Rangers, and then extended through the All-Star game. You know,
have Bertie like, take him to the All-Star game.
Dude, it's like it's like when you're in Vegas at the blackjack table, just, you know, play until you lose.
Sleepy Mofo point out the kid does have school. I mean, come on now.
That's true.
But cue up your
dude, AJ. If I'm making a wish, school can be on hold for a week. You know,
AJ, can you cue up the hey now? Because I have something to read. I need a hey now to chase it with, though.
Where is it? Okay, hold on. Dude, you know me. I got you.
Before that, though, and I'll get to that comment in a moment. But first, Steve Proper saying, you know, Sharks play the competition level, which I think is true to some extent. But I think it's true, again, with every team where, I mean, here's the thing, you know, from playing competitive sports, when you're playing a bad team, they still want to win. They don't give a crap that their record is awful most of the time. You know, there are definitely dejected teams, but they still want to beat you. They don't care that you're at the top and they're at the bottom. They want to beat you that one day, because that one day they can say, well, yeah, we're losers. Well, we beat the best team. And I think this is definitely even true in professional sports. They don't give a crap that they're on the bottom. They're not going to say, well, we might as well just roll over. So, Mike Nevis commenting on what I said about that, you know, 6 and 7 nights. He's like, sex and 9 nights sounds good. Where's the damn it, AJ?
There we go.
Anyways,
and when you're trying to get into the into your woman's here we go. Oh boy, you gotta make sure you check in.
Oh boy.
Okay. And we're swiping left on this conversation.
Yes.
One thing to add to the end, near the end of the game, the
bullshit with Hurdle.
With Hurdle between Malkin and Hornquist. What did you guys take from that?
Well, considering, and even Kurz pointed this out, that what was it, Hornquist like knocked Hurdle out of the game two of the Stanley Cup final back in 2016?
Yeah, it was the ankle.
Yeah, so you think he doesn't have that like on the back of his mind and probably wants to knock his block off? I can't hold it against him. But I did think it was a little, honestly, I wouldn't get too crazy into that. I think it was just the Pittsburgh Penguins showing some frustration. You know, I mean, they'd had some good looks. Again, though, the Sharks had some really good looks tonight. Honestly, you had Couture ringing one that I thought was buried, but Couture rings one off the post. LeBanc has one glide off his stick. This game could have very easily been 4-1, 4-2 Sharks tonight. I mean, there were a couple missed plays at where the puck just, you know, not some puck luck or anything like that. But that's, you know, I think it ended up working out the right way. If you look at, and obviously I have my teal tinted glasses on, but if you look at it just chances wise, the Sharks had, to me, more chances. The Sharks did play a better game tonight. They also held the number one power play scoreless after three chances. You know, they Sharks held them 0-3 in this one, and the Sharks were able to bury one on the power play with Hurdle's goal. So they took advantage. There you go.
So I'm trying to figure out, you know, we had rough stuff tonight. There was the rough stuff the other night with Dustin Brown and the Penguins as well. I mean, all this rough stuff and nonsense. I mean, this is turning into the NBA. Next, they're going to be going under secret tunnels under the ice, trying to attack each other's locker rooms or something.
Oh, my God. How long you been waiting on that one, dude?
I don't know.
One in his back pocket for like a week.
I mean, shit. It's like I went to a hockey game and a basketball game broke out. Turn that old adage on his head there. Jeez.
Yes. Hurdle's on fire.
Yeah, but honestly, I felt like this game could have been 4-1, 4-2. I mean, that Couture one that went off the pipe, I still can't believe that didn't go in. And then what was it? It was the LeBanc chance where literally Couture had his arms up. Like, he thought it went in. You know,
Felix said I had that one saved in my drafts. Yes, I did, Felix. Yes, I did.
There you go. But so, you know what I'm talking about. It's just like I felt like the Sharks, once they were at that point, I was like, yeah, I think they got this one. And in fact, I think on the Pucknologist yesterday, I said that I thought the Sharks were going to actually win this one. But I am worried about tomorrow night's game because I think
big time.
I think Anaheim has a ton more to work for, plus they're obviously getting healthy right now, and the fact that they've remained this competitive despite all the injuries they've had, it could be a very tough game. But man, dude, get Hayden Bradley center that third that fourth line tomorrow, boy.
Yeah, that the Ducks are just that team that won't die. Like, every year we don't want to write them off.
That's what I'm saying.
Even early in the season, the they struggle.
Fact that's right. What I'm saying, though. But they have that history and that reputation of they are a second half team.
Yep. They came out on fire. They came out on fire before. They'll do it again. And considering what they did with all their injuries to stay in the race, watch out. Watch out. And it's going to be a crazy tight race where a 2-game losing streak could knock you out of a playoff spot.
Yeah. So, well, and realistically, all you have to do in the first half of the season, if you're anybody, is just don't get yourself out of it. All you have to do is stay afloat. Like, no one cares who was in first place at the end of December in a season, because as long as you're not out of the running at the end of December, you can take first place still, unless someone just runs away with it.
Yeah,
of course it does happen.
We want to welcome those of you who were watching Brody and Kyle on NBC Sports California. This is Teal Town After Dark. We are your live and interactive Sharks post-game show. So do us a favor, hit that subscribe button down below and join us in the chat on the YouTube page or the app. And let's have some fun. We're talking Sharks hockey. This is your way to talk Sharks hockey. You won't find this anywhere else right now.
Smash that subscribe button. All right.
Not everybody knows how to roll a dog and pony show like us, baby.
That's right.
Let me just point out
the many dogs, too. The many ponies. We do it the best.
Let me just point out something else as well. When it comes to time on ice tonight, you know, the person that was holding up the totem pole was Barkley Goodrow at 9:23. Melker Carlson coming in second at 11:11, which, okay, you know, both those guys play on the fourth line, something you expect. But Carlson getting 11:11, Bodker getting 11:15, despite the fact that he plays on the third line. Exactly my point. And, this is the whole, you know, it's like he had a stretch of a couple good games. I'm telling you, Bodker better get on the score sheet or like crack 13 minutes sometime tomorrow, or it's just kind of like, what the hell are we doing?
Well,
I was saying the other night, really, at this point, we just expect him not to be a detriment. If he can not be a detriment, then
yeah, that's what I'm looking for. I mean, for the guy that I'm paying $4.5 million for the next, you know.
Well,
that's the reason why I scored him, you know, signed him to a 4-year deal at $4.5 million per year, and put him, yes, you know, wrote his name down on a napkin with Couture and Donskoy. He goes, oh my god, this is going to be the second line that is just gonna throw fits into the other team.
I'm talking adjusted expectations here. Expectations by
up.
Money,
that's what we're hoping for.
At this point, just don't be a detriment, because we know if we expect anything from him more than not
right
being, so, a, being neutral, then we're expecting too much.
And speaking of that, Felix in the chat, our buddy Felix, awesome writer. Look for Felix's musings on TealTownUSA.com. Go check out what he's writing. Felix putting a great point onto it, where it's like, you know, Hansen's been a healthy scratch for how many games now? Like 3 or 4 or 5? Like, yeah. Why is he getting in over Ward? I mean, obviously Goodrow has shown talent centering the, you know, that fourth line. You know, what is it that, I mean, maybe you think about going with exactly tonight's line, but you sit Bodker and put Hansen on the third line and see if something comes with it with Tierney and Donskoy.
You literally just stole the idea I was just going to say, is take advantage of what you have with the depth on your team. Put freaking Hansen out there. I mean, I don't know if you want to put Heat out there. That might throw off the
lineup. That's right. Dress 7D, bitches.
So wait, what is it? Apparently, what is it with the Danes on our team? I mean, apparently we're just saying
they're Dane-ish.
I know, but what is it with all these hockey players from shithole countries? Topical humor.
Wow. Well done.
Wow.
Well done. Can we get some women to march for Bodker being moved?
Also saved in my drafts. Thank you.
Wow. Oh, man.
Bodker shutdown. Hashtag Bodker shutdown.
Oh, boy. There's just no words I could say right now, but I'll just say it this way. Final stats on
take
the night.
Take that, politically correct people.
Oh, boy. I can already hear them protesting about us as we speak. Sharks led the shot total 36 to 32. They had a slight edge in the faceoff circle, 51 to 49. Sharks went 1-for-3 on the power play thanks to that hurdle game winner. Penguins were 0-for-3. Pens, the best team in the NHL on the power play. Penalties were even. Hits, 21 to 15 in favor of the Pens. Block shots, and I thought both teams did pretty good on this. 28 to 17 for the Sharks. Giveaways, Penguins had 13 to 9, and I'll credit this, guys, and I don't know if you caught on to it, but it seemed like they kept they were within a stick of the puck carrier tonight for the Sharks. I thought they gave a lot of the players fits, didn't give them any open ice, and if they did, it was very rare in this game, because I thought they did a great job containing Crosby and such. Crosby had 4 shots on goal, Kessel had 5, Malkin only had 2, and he was a -1 on the night. So
the Sharks did a great job containing the big guns for Pittsburgh. Again, I go back to what I said earlier, number one power play in the league. You would think that they would be a little bigger in the standings with the number one power play, but Sharks shut down the number one power play in the league. You talk about some of these numbers. Hurdle taking 20 faceoffs tonight. Like, really? Like, he was like 1-10, lost 10. I mean, right down the light. Can somebody explain to me why the hell Timo Meier is skating with Pavelski and Thornton? And when they open the game, Timo Meier is taking the opening faceoff when he has Pavelski and Thornton. Like, what the hell was that? And tonight, Meier, 2 faceoffs won, 5 lost, good for 28%. I mean, I understand if you want to get them out there in an offensive position, and, you know, when the game is in the right point, give Meier some experience. And I guess that's why you put him out there to for the opening faceoff, but it just seems really weird when you're skating on the line with Pavelski and Thornton. Yeah, you know who should take the faceoff? Meier. he'd be the right one to do it this time.
Well, here's
maybe they're trying to teach him. I don't know.
Couture tonight, 100%.
Yep, Couture
only took one and he won it.
Yeah, Couture was 100%. Dodson was Carlson, and you know who the only person that was 100% on faceoffs for Pittsburgh was? Ryan Reeves.
Oh, that smirking SOB.
Go figure. You know, it's crazy.
You would have thought Schultz would have been a little disjointed after the Brown hit, but okay.
So Ian pointed this out, and actually he's correct in the chat. Thornton didn't take any faceoffs at all tonight. He's 0-for-0, which is very odd.
Like, yeah, why did that happen? I mean, Pavelski was 5-for-5 again. Another guy,
Meier took, you know, he took 7. Pavelski.
So it makes you wonder what's going on with Thornton.
Yeah, that's.
Oh,
that's,
wait a minute, hold on. Breaking news, people! Breaking news. For the longest time, for like the last 10, 12, 15 games, it's been Thornton centering Pavelski and Meier. We figured it out. Breaking news. Timo Meier is now the center. No. Thornton and Pavelski are the wingers. And if you look at Thornton's shot percentage over the last 5 or 6 games while he's been playing as a winger, fantastic. Scored 4 goals in a row. Or,
he scored tonight. I figure he's like our sniper now. What the heck?
Dude, and, you know, they don't have him in the circle, so clearly he's playing in the winger position. This is an amazing move by Pete DeBoer that I don't think anybody's addressing. Kurz, Gackel, Pashelka, you lazy bastards, get on this. How are you not looking at this?
Well, you know,
of course I'm
easy
kidding.
There. Easy.
Of course I'm kidding. Of course I'm kidding. But I will be sliding into your DMs a little bit later.
Oh my.
Oh my. All right. Well, we put a bow on that game. Let's go do a wrap around the world of hockey tonight. There we go. All right. And Gen X, and you know, Jumbo, like Gen X said, you know, Jumbo's not adjusted to new rules, honestly. And maybe that's why. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he was dude, in there to take the faceoffs, and he got kicked out of the faceoff circle.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, what are the new rules? What are you talking about?
Oh, wait, is it the NHL reach around or the wrap around? Oh yeah,
it is a wrap around.
Dude, hockey is still being played, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes,
this doesn't happen very often after an after dark. Usually everything's so
especially a home game. Low.
Yes. I know. Can we just start with the games that have finaled and then yes, get to the okay? Because oh my god, oh Dallas, I love you. You're my favorite.
Yes. Jeez. Matthias Janmark with 2 goals. Ben with his 19th. Lundell, Faska, and Pitlick. All contributed to a 7-1 trouncing of the Buffalo Sabres.
Who was the goaltender for Dallas in that one?
Well, that'd be great if they showed it, but it doesn't show on here. Let me hit the box score really quick.
Like, it just makes you wonder. Like, I'm like, why are they so scared to show that, you know?
So it wasn't just me on NHL.com. It was Yari Lehtinen.
Gen X snarking in the chat. Here comes Eric One's pronunciations exercise.
Oh, shut up.
Okay, fuck you. I'll do it.
No,
all right.
No. I'm
do it.
I'm gonna do it because.
You know, I'm gonna do it, and you know why? Because I'm gonna mispronounce every one of these goddamn names just to piss him off. So the Flyers,
oh boy,
take over. They get a 3-1 victory over this the Devils. New Yeerth gets the win for the Flyers. So good on him, Kincaid. Takes the loss for the Devils on that one. The Avalanche get a 3-1 victory over the New York Rangers. Lewin Kvist gets the loss for the Rangers. And Jonathan Bernier gets the victory in net for the Chris Colorado Beaver. Avalanche. All right. Go ahead. You can do the rest of it.
If you're going to mispronounce a name, start with the Danish ones because we already lost that audience already. So,
all right.
Anywho, all right. So you got the Flyers one.
F you.
Travis Konecki. Yes. Filipula and Povarov on there. You already got the Flyers and Devils. Never mind. You hit the Rangers and Avs.
Yeah.
All right. In a shootout, the Jets beat the Flames. That's AJ Strong's Calgary Flames over supposedly my Winnipeg Jets.
Love my 2-1. I'm sorry. Who? Hold on. Wait. Who got the win in that game? Hella Buck.
Buck. There you go.
Hella Buck.
That's right. Hella Buck with the win. Matthew Perreault with the only goal in regulation for the Jets. TJ Brody, don't call me Brazil, for the Flames. You're welcome.
Oh, we Brazil.
Let's see here. David Pastrnak with 2 goals as the Bruins take down Montreal 4-1. Torrey Krug and Nash with the goals on there for Boston. Max Pacioretty hits up his 15th on the year.
Yes, and hold on. Let me see if I can pronounce the goaltender name for the Canadians. I'm going to go with Price.
Ah, good job.
Okay. I thought I hit that one all right. Okay.
Yes. In Kanata, Ontario, the Toronto Maple Leafs with a 3-goal third period comeback to beat the Ottawa Senators 4-3. That's right. Steve Dangle will finally be happy on an LFR once again. Zach Hyman, San Ramon native Austin Matthews with his 20th on the year. Mitch Marner on the power play, his 6th of the year. Damn it, why didn't I start in my fantasy league? And Connor Carrick. Those 3 goals were within 6 minutes apart as they erased a 3-1 deficit on the Sens as Carlson, Hoffman, and Pyatt get goals for the Senators. So it was the Battle of the Andersons.
Thank you. It was E before O.
Yes. In Detroit, the Hurricanes take down the Red Wings.
Okay, you already lost.
3-1.
Now it's me. Cam warded this bitch is basically what happened in that game. Hurricanes up 3-1. Jamie Howard takes the loss. Tartar, I know it's Tatar, but I don't care. You know, the thing you dip your fish in. Yeah, he got the first goal for the Red Wings, and then it was all over that. Lindholm And then Williams, and Lindholm, both of his on the power play. Oh, good for him. If you have him in fantasy, you know what? Yeah. So anyway, then the Desert Dogs go to St. Louis to face the Blue Notes. And a whole bunch of people that I've never even heard of. I mean, who? Dvorak? Who's this guy? No, I'm kidding. Christian I'm kidding. Dvorak scores two in this one. Perlini, which I hate that guy. But anyway, Antti, the Antti that you're actually proud to have in the family, Antti Raanta, actually gets the win in this one. Even though Shannon Steen score both on the power play for the Blues, it's over. Hutton takes the loss. 5-2 Coyotes over the Blues.
Wait a minute. When you say that, that almost sounds like a new cleaning bottle. Shannon Steen.
It could happen. It could happen. Hey, it's one of those rare times. Pekka Rinne gets a win. Feels like it's been a while. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm screwing around. I'm having fun with this. But
quick interjection here, from Felix. Question for the panel: when does Drew Weber come back on Teal Town USA or Teal Town After Dark to trademark Cam Ward of this bitch? We cannot speak about that. There's pending there's a pending court case that we can't discuss. There's no reason why Drew isn't around here anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure we actually only copyright to Cam Ward this bitch. I don't think that Drew.
That's for the judge to decide.
Unfortunately.
Absolutely. So Predators over the Panthers in Nashville, 4-3. Trocheck, McKenzie, and Yandle scoring in this one for the Panthers.
You can't Yandle the truth.
You cannot. You cannot. Oh, dude. Okay. Just drop the mic.
Wow.
Drop the mic. Okay. Fiala gets two on this one. PK Subban gets one. And then, of course, former Sharks draft pick Nick Bonino scores the seventh in this one. That's right. So Predators over the Panthers, 4-3. Finally, in games that are at a final. And holy crap, was this a score fest. Not sure if this was football or hockey, because a New York team beat a Chicago team 7-3. The Islanders over the Blackhawks. Holy cannoli. And wow, Tavares scored for the Islanders. Wow, what a shocker. What are you gonna do? It's okay, go ahead, give me the pronunciation of the guy who scored for the first goal for the Islanders.
Hang on, let me see. Hold it. Fill air.
It looks
fill
like air. Something that I would have, like that I would order as like a side dish to something Bovillier. In Italian. Yeah, I was gonna say. It sounds like something.
Changes the NHL wraparound to the NHL ethnocentric moment. I can't even pronounce anything right now. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
Yes.
So the Islanders won and the Chicago Blackhawks lost. Nobody gives a shit. Okay, so games that are still happening. Canucks and the Oilers are tied right now. The Oilers are on a power play. There's 4 minutes left in the second period. So far, the dark-haired Sedin sisters scored on the power play. Sutter got the other one. Patrick Maroon. Oh, what a Maroon. He scored first for Edmonton. And whoever this guy's name is. I really don't care at this point. And the Oilers are now off the power play with 3:40 left. Still tied 2-2. So if you're tired of listening to our dog and pony show, go watch that for like 3 minutes. And the other game, Wild over the Lightning, 4-2. And anybody of note?
Pointed out in the chat that the NHL does have a pronunciation guide, to which I say this would be a very boring show.
This is much more fun. I will say point for the Lightning has both the goals for the Lightning. So if you have point on your team, one of them on the power play, if you have point on your fantasy team, good for you.
Wait. Who scored the point?
Exactly.
No, but who scored the point?
Point.
Yes, I know what he scored, but what was his name?
Point.
Okay, we're not going to take his name farther because we're not that funny.
Oh, dear God. I'm well, so
who's
sorry,
our first there for you? Sorry. I'm sorry.
Should we talk about Anaheim tomorrow?
Oh, wait. We have one more score to check on. This is currently in
Barracuda. What's up?
Barracuda are currently playing at the Valley View Casino Center as they take on the San Diego Gulls.
Oh, hey, I was right by there this morning.
It's game is tied 1-1 as Nick DeSimone gets his fourth of the season 1 minute into the game, assisted by Jacob Middleton and Brandon Machinter. Rasmussen from Sidorov at 4:03 tied the game pretty quickly. They are currently in the middle of the or late in the second period right now, and it's still tied 1-1 between the goals and Barracuda.
Yes.
Thank you. Now let's talk about Quackenheim.
Real quick, something to bring up before we get to that, because I have a quick interjection here. So
hold on. If we're going to like get into this, let me scan my ticket so I can get into the room. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Just really fast. For those of you who follow Brody Brazil on Instagram, which I assume that's most of you, he posted a picture the other day, yesterday, saying, you know, it was a picture of him in front of a plane. And he's like, if you can tell me what year this was and what opponent we were playing where. And
I got it out of his rear end. Where did that
Yeah, no, I got it pretty much right away because I saw the giant plane. I was like, oh, yeah, there's no way they would be taking that giant plane anywhere in the U.S. They're going overseas. So it probably was 2010 in Mannheim, Germany. Well, yes. Someone else pointed out, and I think a really good point though brought up that I did not catch. Yeah, there's the picture right there. A good point though was brought up because I saw the two hints I saw was it's Drew, so therefore you know the time frame when Drew and Brody were both.
Where's
there.
Drew? You talking about?
I'm pretty sure it's Drew right there, the bald guy right there.
That's true. That Drew looks pretty beefy.
Okay, maybe it's not Drew. I thought that was Drew, but whichever way. But someone else pointed out another hint, though, besides the plane size. And okay, maybe that's not Drew. But Brody's.
Is it the fact that like Brody's wearing a shirt that says 2010 Germany on it?
No. If you take a look at Brody's pants, I mean the style on those, bro. I hate to go there, but
never.
What are those,
dude? Those Z Cavaricis? What is this? Like 93? What is this?
I know, right? It's like someone else is giving him some crap. But man, dude, what are those, man? What are those?
Oh yeah, it's GJ Jose Carrillo. Since those pants weren't tailored, I'd say 2013. Where'd you get the recommendation, Greg Papa?
Yeah. Okay. Wow. So there's your little aside there. No. But that was I was wildly amused by that.
Somebody's daughter would be being hit on right now.
Oh,
hey, John.
Hey, I'm just saying.
Oh, okay, wow. We're really going back.
This dog probably has better fashion sense than Brody had in that picture.
Hey, now.
Oh, jeez.
We should probably talk about Anaheim now, guys.
Yeah. And we're on to Anaheim.
Let's
guys. Here's my hot take.
F those guys for sure. Well, and let's, in the sense of talking about Anaheim, let's talk about the standings in the West, because the Sharks are at 56 with 45 games played. The Flames lose in a shootout today, so they are at 55, hold down the third spot in the Pacific.
But put that in context is that going into this game, because of what happens in the Flames game, the Calgary leapfrogged him, and then San Jose got the win and leapfrogged Calgary back into that spot. And San Jose still having a game on in hand, which I think is huge and needs to be noted. That's the thing that worries me a little bit. Calgary and LA only have they've only played one more game than San Jose.
Mm-hmm.
San Jose's schedule, let's be honest, since the new year, it went from here to here. It's gotten very compressed.
Yeah. The Sharks had at one time the fewest games played in the Western Conference, and thanks for all the back-to-backs that they've had so far in this year, in this compressed January. Let's be real here. I mean, how many breaks are they going to have here, along with including the Christmas break at the end of December? It's compressed it down. And the Sharks now have virtually caught back up to everybody in the race right now as we speak.
And we can't get too crazy about that too, because if you look at the Pacific, there are like literally 33 points separating Vegas to Arizona, you know, top and bottom. Whereas if you go and you look at the Metropolitan, there are 10 points separating top and bottom. I mean, holy hell. As the Metropolitan, probably the tightest division on the planet right now. And again, though, one of my biggest things is the Central is the only team, or I'm sorry, the Central is the only division where every single team has a positive goal differential, which should scare the hell out of the Sharks. Because if you look between the beginning of the Sharks schedule to now, and we're talking, you know, 3.5 months in, the Sharks have played like what, 4-5 games against Central teams. It's going to get very Central heavy between the All-Star break and the end of the season. That's going to be some tough road to hoe.
Well, I mean, they barely played Minnesota that I can remember, maybe once. Chicago, I don't even know if they played them at all this season. Haven't played
Chicago yet. No.
Colorado just gave them a pretty good kick in the balls. Dallas gave them a good kick in the balls. And St. Louis, I don't think we've talked to – We haven't touched St. Louis yet.
Here's the funny part. I haven't played St. Louis, but the funny part is that Minnesota and Chicago are literally the last team, and the Sharks played them back-to-back. Minnesota and Chicago, the Sharks play them at the very end of February. That is literally Chicago will end up being on February 23rd, the final team that the Sharks have not played at all ever. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The second to last team. Minnesota is the last team. So you're getting down to February 25th. Where literally a month and a half of the season is left, and you have two teams that you still haven't even played. That's okay. NHL schedulers are funny people like that. But the best part of this, Minnesota and Chicago are the bottom feeders of the Central. So hopefully that helps. But when I say bottom feeders,
of a tough division.
Well, exactly. Minnesota, right now, San Jose 56 points, Minnesota 53, Chicago 50. So nothing that you can – it's not like they're Buffalo and Arizona is what I'm saying.
And I see beer talk in the chat. I think Dr. Jackal's getting on your case again about Ballast Weiser. So,
dude, I'm not – oh, okay.
You said, right. You're AJ, 50 shades of ballast point.
That's – you know what? That's fine. Dude, there's nothing wrong with a little sea monster. There's nothing wrong with a little imperial stout. Dude. You know, Jacko, you want to impress me? Come to my world for a little bit, and let's see who can drink who under the table, and then we can talk.
Oh, boy. I don't – wait.
He doesn't drink California beer. He's better than that.
I'll put it this way. You guys talking after drinking beer? Oh, this is bad.
Oh, yeah. We'll get on and do an after dark when that happens. Oh, that's going to go well.
You guys talk about, you know, opponents that we haven't faced yet in the rest of the season. The Sharks' final four road games on the year is a back-to-back with Chicago and St. Louis, a day off, then Nashville, and then a day off, and then the Golden Knights on the 31st.
Hold on. Whoa. Gen X posting, I already did drink you under the table. Dude, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. It's because he drank you under the table. You don't remember it.
No, he didn't drink me under the table unless he like introduced a pint of something to my Johnson. I don't know what he's talking about. Drinking me under the table.
Wow.
I was afraid.
Dude, I cleaned that up, dude.
Okay, and we're moving on to Cincinnati here.
What the hell he's talking about? Bitch, please. Fairmont Hotel lobby, dude. Were you at
the game? It's going down in the Fairmont.
What I'm saying. No, and I met Jackal at the Fairmont Hotel lobby. We both had a couple beers. We had a great time meeting each other for the first time, despite all the times that he dominates the chat. And we had a really good time. We sat there and just, you know, we basically talked. Actually, a lot of it was more like music. And everything, you know, because he's a bass player, which, you know, he's kind of retarded. You know, four strings are very easy. Wow. Six strings, it's too much.
Okay. As Laurel says, hashtag off the rails. Probably time to bring it home, Eric.
Yeah, but Felix right now, I'm laughing so hard at this right now. So anyway,
couples.
Yeah, we're partying like it's 2015 on here.
I'm just messing with Gen X. If we could get him on this show, to be a regular, yeah. If I could get Gen X on here to be a regular, That would be the first thing I would ever do. I love Gen X. Because we both grew up at the same time. We both have a respect for music. Our respect for bands.
Ian with the emoji off the rails here. He's got
very nice
crashing and fire emojis. Yep, there we go.
Oh, dude, hold on. Wait a minute. Is he posting that because he's describing the show he did last night? No?
Yeah, that's very much it. I know you are, but what am I, AJ?
Oh, okay, Eric. Oh, I know you are.
Take us home, Eric. Take us home.
Represent Teal Town to say or their employees.
With that, let's wrap this up because we will be back here tomorrow following the Sharks and Ducks. Game time for that is at 6 p.m. You can catch that on NBC Sports California. Dell,
and I only say that because he had Hockey Jerk on his show, which that's just like an automatic drive it off the rails. In fact,
that guy
we're actually going to be changing next season. We're actually changing the
wow. With that, oh wow. With that, I will quickly get out of here before
you can just suck it. We're changing the name to Jerk Off the Rails.
Oh man.
From Pucknologists.
And with that, we better get out of here.
F you. I'm doing after dark. After this. Solo. Right. Kiss my ass.
No, thanks. I don't know what you had for dinner. With that, we will be whack with you following Sharks and Ducks.
Did you say we'll be whack with you?
No, I said we will be
back
with you.
Hey, watch this, kids. Oh, look at that.
Oh, wow.
He's getting a little childish here, guys.
With that, we will be, and there's one for the swear jar. Help. We'll be back with you following the Sharks and the Ducks. Game time 6 p.m. on NBC Sports California. And then,
hey, when is the NFC and the AFC games tomorrow? What are those?
Those are at noon and 3:30. So,
but which one is which?
AFC's at noon, NFC's at 3:30.
Oh. See, the NFC game is going to be so much more compelling. They should have flipped that, at least for me as a San Jose Sharks fan. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, all I'm going to say is all teams that are in teal tomorrow better win. And with that...
No, I will take the team in purple to win the first game.
The team in purple.
I'm sorry, the second game. I will take the team in purple to win the second game. I will totally take the team in teal to win the first game.
Thank you. Thank you. And with that, we better get out of here. We'll be back with you. I know I've said this four times now. Following Sharks and Ducks. And make sure you hit the subscribe button down below. Make sure you hit up tealtownusa.com for all your lovely info on these podcasts, along with the new Pucknologist that dropped last night. And then for AJ Strong, for Chris GWS.
I thought I was supposed to say Rose right there.
For AJ Strong, for Chris GWS, I am Eric Kerr. You can follow me on Twitter at PuckGuy14. You can catch us on every podcatcher possible, if not at us at Tealtown USA on Twitter. Until tomorrow night, keep it real, keep it teal, keep it real teal, and have a good night. Like these guys are.